Welcome to the Faith Podcast. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm Pastor Carrick Butler II. We believe today's message will empower you to make Jesus famous in every area of your life. Here's today's message.
Amen. Well, tonight's message, I don't know, I guess, you know, I have a little bit of a brawler in me. I'm a little bit of a fight person. So tonight we're going to talk about fighting. Amen. Everybody quiet, like fighting. So, how many of you have been in a physical altercation ever in life? A physical altercation. Don't be shy. I mean, it could have been elementary school, middle school, high school. It could have been with your siblings while mama wasn't looking. How many of you have ever been in a physical altercation? Okay. How many of you lost that physical altercation or ever lost a physical altercation? Got a hand over there, hand over there, hand over there. Yeah, I think I lost one. I didn't lose many, but I'm pretty sure I lost maybe one. You remember that feeling after you lost? That feeling of defeat, that feeling of, man, especially if it happened on the school grounds and everybody was watching, and you got to do that walk of shame the next day or that following Monday because you told somebody I'll meet you outside at 3 o'clock when the bell ring and you got beat up instead of you beating them up. Y'all remember how that feel? Okay, so how many of you have been in a spiritual fight before? How many have lost a spiritual fight before? You remember that feeling of, Lord, where were you? Why you didn't have my back? I stepped out here in faith, and the devil just whooped my tail, and I'm here out here looking crazy on Front Street. My family already called me cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs because I'm giving my money to the church, and I'm volunteering at the church, and you got me out here on the Front Street looking crazy. The enemy just whooped me. Anybody ever had that conversation with the Lord? How many of you, after that experience, was really ready to step into another faith fight? How many of you was like, yeah, okay, this next one, I'm gonna get them? Just a couple. And really, when you said it, were you like sure, or were you just kind of like revenge, but not really settled in that thing? Anybody? Okay. Well, tonight we're going to talk about how to bounce back from when you lose. Because inevitably, sometimes we miss it, sometimes we step out and that's not really what God wanted us to do, or you've stepped out on what God told you to do and you find yourself in the middle of some stuff and you just kind of like, Lord, seriously? You sent me here for this? I was good over there. It was, you know, is this really what I'm getting ready to experience? And so you kind of get to this place sometimes, not everybody, but some, where you're like, you know what? I got this happening at work. I got this going on in my personal life. I got this happening with the car. And now I got to get the roof replaced. You know what, Daddy? I'm not really concerned with victory. I just need the storm to be over. If we can just get to the place where everything is just kind of calm and maybe I can deal with one issue at a time, I'm good with that. I don't really care about coming out gold and coming out on top and victorious and shouting. I just want to get out of the middle of this tornado. Anybody ever felt that way? Amen. Okay, good. I'm not alone. So the title of tonight's message is Get Your Fight Back. Now, I'm going to say it like I'd say it if I was at home. Get your fight back. Your fight, not your. Yo, Y-O. Get your fight back. Because in order to be victorious in anything, you have to fight. You can't win if you never fight. Whining, complaining, moaning and groaning, shivering in the corner, opting not to touch it does not bring you to victory, right? But there are some steps that you have to follow. There's some things that you have to do in order to even begin to attack those things. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. So go with me over to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going to look at David. Excuse me. And we're going to start with verse 1. Let me know when you're there. You say amen, hallelujah. All right. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. That sound familiar? You've just done cried every tear you could possibly cry. You don't have no more tears. You just kind of like, I have no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So here we see David. The previous chapter, he's with the Philistines and a king named King Achish. Now, first off, what is David doing with the Philistines, right? But earlier chapters, if you read it, you'll see that Saul has been chasing David across the countryside, trying to kill him because the people had been singing David's praises as if King Saul no longer was worthy of his position. Although he had kind of fallen out of walking with God, he was still king. So now he's pursuing David to take David's life because the people are shouting for David. We want David. We want David, basically. So David is running from King Saul to save his own life. And he decides, well, I'm going to take up residence with the Philistines. But the Philistines said, nah, bruh, we don't trust you. We getting ready to go off to war. They tell King Achish, we can't take David with us. What if we get to this place and we getting ready to fight and then David turns on us and takes the side of the other people? So now King Achish tell your boy he can't roll with us. He need to go. So King Achish tells David, you know what? I know you've not done anything wrong and I know you're an honorable man, but the Philistines don't want you to come with us, so you need to go on back home. So he goes back to Ziklag, and when he gets there, he finds that the enemy has come in, invaded his camp, took their women, took their valuables. They have ransacked everything. So now David is looking at the fact that his wives are gone, his men's wives and family are gone, everything that they own is gone. And on top of him dealing with that grief, his boys are now talking about killing him. You think David got a lot going on? He in the middle of a serious storm, right? He dealing with some multiple issues, right? But what we see David doing right off is, in verse 6, it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. No matter how rough it was in that moment, and we see David concerned. They all cried out. They all weep. They were all concerned, David included. But what he did was he got himself together long enough to encourage himself in the Lord. So that's the first point of tonight. Encourage yourself in the Lord. When all hell is breaking loose around you, right? When things are going crazy around you, that's not the time to freak out and panic. That is the time to step back and get into the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, there is peace, there's fullness of joy, there is hope, right? So you want to take that time, you want to step back, and you want to encourage yourself in the Lord. So while David is encouraging himself in the Lord, now he's in a position where he can hear
what to do next. So we see in verse 8 it says, "And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Do I even go after them? Is it for me to go fight this fight now? What do I do, Lord?" Then he says, "And shall I overtake them? Now, if I go pursue them, am I going to get beat down or am I going to overtake?" And I think that's two questions that most believers ask when they're trying to bounce back from an unexpected scenario. Maybe you lost a loved one that was dear to you, and you like, "Lord, how can I carry on without my spouse? How can I carry on without this loved one? What am I supposed to do?" And you're waiting on God to tell you what to do. You're waiting. You need to wait for God to tell you what to do. Because, see, David didn't say, "Shall I pursue after this troop and shall I overtake and then jet on out and go do whatever he thought he was supposed to do?" He actually waited for the Lord to respond to him. And so the Lord said, "Yes, pursue, and you shall recover all." He said, "Without fail, you will recover all." Amen? Let's look at verse 17 and 19 and see what actually happened after David took that time to inquire of the Lord. Verse 17 says, "And David smote them from the twilight even until the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all." So we see, because David took the time to calm himself, encourage himself in the Lord, he was able to inquire of God, "What do I do next? What are my next steps?" And when God answered him, he walked that thing out, and the end result was him getting exactly what God had promised him. Amen? So let's go on to the next point. Let's go on to the next point. Let's go over to James chapter 1, because it's tied into inquiring of the Lord. James chapter 1. James 1. And I'm going to start at verse 1 and read down through verse 5. It says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Now, this word temptations here, defined in the Greek, is pronounced pyrasmos. It's a putting to proof by experiment of good, experience of evil, solicitation, discipline, or provocation by implication or adversity. It means to make trial of, to try, to tempt, to proof, a putting to the test, generally trial of one's character. I'm gonna keep reading. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, this word "entire" here means, which means whole, complete in every part, perfectly sound. Now, we saw that happen with David, right? He encouraged himself in the Lord, then he inquired of the Lord. Do we, looking at David's story that we just read, can we see how his faith was tried? Can we see how he had to exercise patience? He couldn't just jump right on out there and do whatever he wanted to do. He had to exercise some patience to seek the Lord. And the end result of David doing that was him recovering all. The scripture told us that there was nothing that was taken from David that he didn't get back, right? So here again, we see in James 1, verses 1 through 5, that if we go to God because we are lacking wisdom, it says that he will give it to us liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, out of the New Living Translation, it reads this way, starting in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy. So that means there needs to be some form of excitement in the fact that you are in the middle of a test and trial. Think about that. You in the middle of a storm. You're in the middle of a battle. You're in the middle of an issue, and the scripture is saying, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, when you see the word fall, can you, now some people train to do this, but when you're falling, do you have much control? So you have no control over what's going on around you. But Daddy is saying, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, which lets you know there's different types of trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So without us experiencing any kind of test or trial, we can never really develop patience. And that's key. Because everything isn't overnight. Everything isn't microwavable. So we have to get to the place where we learn how to patiently endure. So it says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now that word perfect here means mature. So that means you are mature, you're strong, you have the ability to act your spiritual age. Have you ever been around an adult who acts like they're still a kid all the time? I mean, it's one thing if they just having fun, you know, but they whine about everything. They mad because they can't have their way. And it's kind of like, oh my goodness, please, act your age, not your shoe size. Come on. So the scripture is telling us, let patience have its perfect work. Why? So that you can be perfect, so that you can be mature. And here's the other thing that we all really want, lacking nothing. We want to get to the place where we're not lacking anything, but it takes patience to get there. So then it says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So the scripture's telling us, hey, the Lord has no issue with giving you the wisdom that you need. The wisdom that you need to get through this test, this trial, whatever that various trial may be, or the multiple various trials that could be happening all at once, he doesn't have a problem giving you the answers. But just because he gave you the answers, think about it. David had to get all of them men together. He had to help them get their mind right. He had to mount them up. They had to go to wherever the Amalekites were. They had to fight the Amalekites. And then they recovered all. It wasn't the story of when they arrived there, the Lord had already wiped out the enemy. They were required to do something. That took patience. Don't you think David had to exercise some patience to pull them in together? Because remember, they were ready to kill David. So he had to convince them not to kill him, but to ride out with him again. So he had to be patient with these men. By the way, these are men who came to him, and the scripture described them as in debt. I think I put it down in here. The scripture describes those men, those 400 men. They found David in a cave when he was hiding out from Saul. And the scripture describes those 400 men that were connected with David as distressed, in debt, and discontented. So they were one way when they came upon David, right? For whatever reason, the grace on David's life, he was able to get these men together. But how many of you know that you can come from this place and you be here and you get hit and it almost takes you all the way back here. So David had to bring them back from wherever they were getting ready to regress from to go out and do war. That took patience. But we don't want to settle ourselves half the time to even hear from God. But it's a requirement if you want to get your fight back. Now, if you don't want victory from this last point that you lost, then cool. This message isn't for you. But if you want to get back up and get back in the fight and get what's yours, recover all without fail, then you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. You're going to have to inquire of the Lord. And then you're going to have to do what he told you to do. Let's go over to Proverbs 2:3, still looking at inquiring of the Lord. Y'all quiet in here tonight. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 2. And I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous." Now, who are we? Are we the righteous? All right. "He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints." Are we his saints? Okay, so I'm going to stop right here. So it says the Lord gives wisdom directly from his mouth. Now we see David went to the Lord. Now the only person he went to before he went to the Lord was Abiathar, and he asked him for the ephod. Now the ephod is a priestly garment that they would wear before they would go before God to inquire of the Lord. It's almost like taking your Bible into your private time of study, okay? So the scripture says that the Lord gives wisdom directly from his mouth. You don't have to get it secondhand. Now, I go to consignment shops and all that all the time. Nothing wrong with that. But I'll take a brand new tufted rug over a consignment tufted rug if somebody, you know, if I'm getting this great deal on this tufted rug. I'm not going to pay the same $300 for a consignment rug that I could pay for a brand new rug, right? So why go get wisdom secondhand when you can get it directly from God? You don't have to worry about miscommunication. You don't have to worry about wrong interpretation and translation and transmission of the word from him to you by this other person. You can go get it directly from God. We saw in James 1, he said he's not going to withhold it. He will give it to you liberally, which means you ain't got to beg God. You ain't got to nitpick and ask him, "Is that all? Did you give me every point? Did you tell me everything I needed to know? Are you sure you didn't leave anything out?" You don't have to do that with God. He's going to tell you everything you need to know for that moment, for that step that's going to get you to where you need to be. So, continuing looking here at Proverbs, how many of you know that when you value something, you care for it regularly? So he tells us right here, he says in verse 4, "If thou," meaning you, "if you seek her as silver," that her is wisdom, "and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God," and all of the other wonderful things he said after that. But here's the key in verse 4. He said, "If you seek for her as silver and search for her as hid treasures." So that means there's some intensity behind this. So I remember when I was looking at this scripture, I was like, "Lord, what's a good illustration? What's a good window for people to really see this, get it in the natural sense of it?" So I was teaching my students in FBI, and I don't remember what it was exactly. I think it was the Supplications, Prayers, and Intercessions class. But I was telling them about how I lost one of my diamond earrings, and I didn't realize it until I got into my apartment, but I knew I had that earring on when I came into my building. So I put my stuff down, and I'm looking around, and I go back into the hall, and I'm looking, and the carpet was dark, but you know, when it's just a stud, that's a hard thing to find, right, ladies? That's like trying to find a back to an earring or something. So I'm looking for my earring, because these was a nice pair of earrings. So I'm looking for these earrings. Now, I thought about doing this, and I said, no, I probably won't do this while I'm ministering, but I'm really tempted to do this. But I am on the floor at this point, rubbing my hands along the baseboard, rubbing across the carpet, searching for my earring, because I want my earring back. I still didn't find it, but I wasn't ready to give up. I said, you know, I'm gonna wait till it get dark. And I went and got my, you know, my little flashlight, and I went back to that hall. And I'm all in the hall, still on all fours, unashamed, looking for my earring. I lived in Chicago at the time. It was snowy. So you're talking about mud on the elevator, you know, it's nasty. I didn't care. I'm on the elevator on my hands and knees looking for my earring because it was valuable to me. It was a treasure to me. Likewise, the scripture should be just as valuable. Tests and trials and issues and people and personalities and broken character and pet peeves and moves and swings should not keep you from treasuring the Word of God, because it's what you need in order to win the fight, right? So I'm digging and digging and looking and looking. I never found that earring, but while I was doing that, it made me think about scriptures that tell you to value the Word of God. Because I was not giving up on that earring. I still passively looked for that earring for weeks after. It was kind of like, dang, is my, oh, nope, don't see it. And I did that for a little while. Now, no, I never found it. So that's not a good ending to my story. But you get the point, right? So, likewise, when we are inquiring of the Lord, it should be a regular searching. See, now, I want to show a hands for this question. I think by now y'all know I like to poll my audience. So, would you rather be in the middle of a war, like a real war, like gunfire war, with basic training troops or combat military? So who wants to be with the basic trained troops? And I'm not shooting down my basic trained troops, but y'all know what I'm getting at. So how many want to be with the basic training troops? I just left Fort Jackson last week, and I didn't want to come back home. So how many want to be with the basic training cadets? Not one person? But how many want to be with those that's been in combat, that's been in war already? Why? Because you know they know what to do. You know they know how to at least stay level-headed, even though they may be hollering, get on the floor, move over here, get out, over there. Although all of that may be going on, there is a sense of peace in that chaos because you trust what? Their skill, you trust their ability, you trust their experience. So you're in the middle of a fight, or you need to get back in the fight, who better than to trust than the God that not only created you, but has also equipped you with what you need to win the fight? Y'all quiet. Y'all quiet. So if you'd rather have access to the one who you know you can get victory from, and you know you don't want to be with the basic training cadet because they don't know enough, they haven't experienced enough yet, why don't we spend the time necessary with the one who has the experience, with the one who has the answers, with the one who has the knowledge. If we really valued it, and my students who are in here are probably like, yep, I know where she's going. It'd be like food. See, I got this thing about food. Anytime I teach, my students are guaranteed several food stories because not only do I like to eat, I like to cook. And when I cook, it's like this major production. That's somebody who's been evident to my cooking. It's a major production. I'm intense. I'm into it. I'm making sure it's right. I'm paying attention to the temperature. I'm paying attention to this going over here. I got 5 or 6 things going on that stove, in the oven, on the counter. But I got a pulse on everything that's happening. And because I value how this is going to taste at the end, or how it's going to look to whomever may be eating dinner with me or partaking of the goodies that I have made, I'm paying attention to every detail because I value what my food looks like and tastes like. Because I enjoy cooking so much, I cook just to cook, to practice. Because I value when I prepare food that is right for people. Won't you talk about me behind my back? Minister Tanisha made some fried chicken the other day. It wasn't even done in the middle. No, not out my kitchen. So likewise, we spend time with those things that's valuable to us. You got a spouse, the quickest way to let them know that you don't care about them is not spend time with them. Now, I'd rather my spouse tell me, baby, okay, I love you, but I need some, you know, I'm going to just go to the man cave. Oh, okay. But he going to know that I value him. Amen? All right, I'm going to keep going. Let's go over to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Because sometimes, you know, we hear this and it's good to know that God is willing to give us the wisdom and the answers that we need. But for some reason, our lives don't always reflect what we say we believe. And see, a genuine faith will produce real change in a person's conduct and character. But the absence of change is a symptom of a dead faith. If you don't see change, then there's something you need to tweak. And that's a hard thing sometimes because we want to say, I am giving it my all. I am doing everything I need to do. Okay, so how much time did you spend in prayer today? Oh, well, you know, I got up late because I stayed up late last night, and then I had to hurry up and get to work, and, you know, I had a full day, so I didn't even take lunch, so I didn't spend time with the Lord at lunch, and now I'm home, and, you know, I got to cook dinner, and I got to do this for the kids, and so, yeah, I didn't pray today. Then day 2 goes on like that, and day 3 goes on like that. So do you really value the word? Can't, because if you did, everything else would fall to the wayside. When I'm cooking, don't bother me. Don't bother me. This might even sound a little funny, but and it probably is. When 24 is on, even the old 24 with Jack Bauer. Now this new 24 with old boy from Straight Outta Compton, don't call me. I'm watching 24. Because I value my TV time at that point. Don't call me if Designated Survivor is on. I don't want to talk to you. Don't call me. Because I value that time. My friends and family, no. Don't call her before 10 a.m. She don't want to talk to you. I'm not answering the phone. One sister said, well, what if somebody passed away? I can't do nothing about it. Don't call me. She was like, I can't believe you said that. I said, I'm just saying, don't call me. Don't call me before 10 o'clock. I had 2 birds chirping outside my window last night. It was like they were arguing. And then eventually, like other birds joined in with the conversation. And I'm like, shut up.
They got quiet for 2 seconds, probably to figure out how close I was. And then they went back, and they did this for a whole hour or so until I finally fell asleep last night. Craziness. But anywho, Matthew 7. I went off on a rant, sorry. Ask and it shall be given you, verse 7, Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. So now a lot of times people look at this scripture and they look at it from a monetary thing, position. Or stance of, if I ask God to pay this bill miraculously, then I can trust that he will answer me. Yeah, that's true. But it doesn't say that it only applies to that. He said, ask and ye shall receive. So if you need wisdom, then ask and you shall receive. If you need strength, ask and you shall receive. But there's a confidence that you have to have in the Word of God. And the only way your confidence can be built up in the Word of God is by spending time in the Word of God. And the only way you're going to spend time in the Word of God is if you value the Word of God. So we have to get to the place where we are valuing the Word of God. And not just when we need that get out of jail or get out of trouble card to work on our behalf. When you go to God and you ask God, whatever it is you're asking him, but in this, for this message, for direction, then you need to go authentically. Don't be going to God with this demeanor or attitude of, I just need you to hook me up this one time. That's not a real relationship. Amen? You want to go to him authentically saying, Lord, listen, I cannot make my decisions for my life without you. I cannot guide my family without you. I need you in my life to lead, guide, direct, steer, pilot me the way that I should go. You talking about getting answers when you need it? Oh, yeah, you'll get the answers that you need. And then you'll be able to stand up strong in the middle of whatever it is you're facing and speak to that thing, act out on whatever it is that God told you to do, and you'll see the same result that David saw. You will recover all. Because the scripture says that if the thief be found, he got to repay 7 times, up including the contents of his household. So you can get to a place walking in God that when the enemy messes with you, it's going to be more costly for him than it is for you, because he got to repay. But you never get to that position, that stance, unless you take time to encourage yourself in the Lord and to inquire of the Lord. And then the next thing you're going to have to do, because some may say, you know what, this position that I'm in my life, these troubles that I'm dealing with, is my fault. I mismanaged my money, or I cheated on my spouse, that's why they divorced me, or, you know, I didn't take care of my body, that's why I'm dealing with these physical challenges that I have now. So really, there's no coming back for me because I created this scenario that I'm living in. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell, and I can show you how. So let's go to Matthew 26. Since we're in Matthew. Matthew 26. See, one thing that really, really, really gets my pants in a bunch is when the enemy gets away with lying to believers. Because it's kind of like you go somewhere to buy something valuable. Say, brothers, y'all going to buy an engagement ring for a woman. And because you don't know that much about diamonds, you're trusting that whoever you're going to purchase this diamond from is gonna be, you know, at least upfront to some degree. But then later you find out that this $5,000 ring that you done bought really was only worth $2,500 because, you know, the diamond didn't have the right cut and clarity and all those other C's that go in there. I don't know what they are. I know I'm a woman and I probably should know, but I don't. I only know cut and clarity. That's it. And then don't ask me what the letters mean because I don't know. But, you know, huh? But
The point is, you're expecting them to have some integrity, right? And not swindle you out of your money. And you get frustrated because you realize that this person done swindled you out of something. Likewise, the enemy is the same way. He likes to swindle the believer out of what really belongs to them. But the way he's able to do it is because he's able to deceive you. And the only way to deceive a person is for them not to really know what it is that the enemy is tricking them about. Nobody in this room can come and tell me my name is anything other than Tanisha. If you knew me as a little girl, you might know the nickname that I will not say on tape in this place. If you went to high school with me, then you might call me Bird, because that was my nickname. But you can't come up to me and say, Felicia. Y'all so silly, talk about bye. Because my name is not Felicia. And no matter how much you insist on calling me Felicia, I'm gonna say, no, my name is Tanisha. No, your name is Felicia. Babe, my name is Tanisha. And you call me Felicia again, the conversation is over. You can't deceive me into thinking that my name is Felicia. I don't care how much it rhymes with Tanisha. You can't. But if you wanted to tell me that, nope, I know cars, so I can't do that one. If you wanted to tell me that there was a radioactive ingredient in a Snicker bar, you gonna make me go look, because I don't know the ingredients in a Snicker bar other than the chocolate, the caramel, is that called nougat? I don't know, I just eat them. So you would be able to at least pique my interest, or if you are convincing enough, I might just stop eating Snickers on GP just because you seem like you really knew what you was talking about. Well, that's what the enemy does, because we don't spend that time in the Word familiarizing ourselves with the promises of God. So he's able to deceive us out of it, and then we find ourselves making mistakes. So here we are in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, I am going to start at verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So we see here Peter is like, listen, no, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. I'm not never going to deny you. I am your ride or die. I'm your homeboy. I'm your dog. I'm your hitman. I'm not going nowhere. As far as Peter was concerned, I am stuck to you like glue. Ain't nobody touching you. Nobody's going to do anything to you because I got you. I got you, Lord. I got you. So then Jesus goes off to Gethsemane to pray, and he tells them, I need y'all to watch and pray, right? What they do? What most of us do in the morning. Hit that snooze. So Peter wasn't even ready to deal with the fight that was coming because he didn't spend time in prayer. And that happens to believers as well. We don't take that time on the front end and wind up paying for it when the storm comes. So Peter winds up denying Christ. Let's go over to verse 40. And he cometh unto disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Christ is telling him, listen, your spirit is what spoke out, I'm not going to let anything happen to you. However, you have flesh you need to deal with. So yeah, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And the only way you can control this flesh is by spending some time in prayer, making it submit. So let's go over to verse 70. Yeah, let's jump down to verse 70. 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. I don't know what you're talking about. Who? Me? No. What me? What me? What me? Verse 71. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. I'm telling you no lie. I take an oath. I swear I don't know this man. I don't know him. Verse 73. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. The way you speak is evident that you roll with this man. You do know him. Then began he to curse. Now, I ain't gonna curse. And to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. So we see Peter here missing it big time. Christ tried to tell him in advance, like he tells all of us in advance, don't spend that extra $20. You're going to need that later. Oh, no. You know what? I'm going to get that appetizer with my entree. Oh, I forgot I ain't got no gas in the car. So Christ told Peter, straight up, no, dude, you need to pray. Your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. Come on, pray. Peter didn't. So later, let's go over to John 21. Now, from Matthew on, from this point, we hear nothing else about Peter. He's hurt. He upset because he done denied Christ. He done cut off a man's ear. The Lord done changed his name because he knew by the Spirit who Christ was. And now when it comes to the rubber meeting the road, he flakes out. And he feels bad. He done walked on water. But then he denies Christ at the end, right? So he feeling real bad. In his mind, I can't go forward. I can't move. I can't do. All I can hear is a comedian's voice in my head right now. No, no. He can't do nothing now. He's all messed up in his head. So let's look at John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. So Christ is like, listen, I know you messed up. I told you you was going to mess up, but I'm not going to say I told you so. Because nowhere in here do we see him saying, I told you. What did he do? He came to him and was like, Do you love me? Peter said, Yeah, I love you. Christ asked him again, Do you love me? He said, Yeah, Lord, I love you. He said, Then feed my sheep. He asked him a third time, Do you love me? Like for real, do you love me? He said, Yeah, Lord, I love you. He said, Then feed my sheep. Get back to what it was that I had you doing in the first place. Yes, you missed it. Yes, you messed it up. Okay, fine. Repent. A lot of times, and I can say that I've been guilty of this, you feel so bad and so ashamed of what you did wrong because you knew better. And you allow that condemnation to keep you from moving forward with God. You allow that to keep you from fighting out of that place. Now, I remember being in, I remember being in middle school. I had gotten kicked out of school. I think at this point I had got kicked out 6 times for fighting. I ain't played that talking about my mama stuff. If I heard your mom, I was cocked out, pow, right in the throat, mouth, whatever I could hit. You don't talk about my mama. Just don't talk about my mama. And she said, why do you keep, I said, they're talking about you. She said, well, what are they saying? I don't let them finish. She was like, okay, but is it true? And I told her, I said, no, it's not true, but can't nobody talk about you but me. So no. She was like, what? Yeah, that's how she responded. What? I was like, yeah, no, nobody can talk about you but me. But this last time I had to fight, my mama told me if I got kicked out again, I was going to be in like some huge trouble and I didn't want to pay this price. So this girl harassed me for weeks. For weeks. And my mama told me that if I got kicked out again, I'm going to tell y'all so this story makes sense. She said I was going to have to pack my bags and leave. I was going to have to go live somewhere else. So she came home one day from work, and I was in my room packing my little Samsonite. Y'all remember them Samsonite luggage, the yellow? I'm packing my Samsonite luggage. I'm packing my bags. She's like, what are you doing? I said, you told me that if I got into another fight, you was going to make me leave, so I'm just packing my bags now. Now, when she tells me the story now as an adult, she laughs, but I'm sure she wasn't laughing then. She probably wanted to. So she said, okay, explain to me what's going on. I told her, and so she gave me permission to fight. Yeah. So for the next week, I'm waiting for this girl to say something to me. Do you know that girl ain't saying nothing to me? I couldn't start it. I had to wait for her to start it. Nothing. So the first week goes by, and then finally she says something, and I got my girls, and I'm like, we walking down the street, I'm taking off my earrings, I'm handing her stuff. I was like, as soon as she get close, I'm just going, mm. So we wind up fighting, but she got a crew of girls with her, like twice my crew. Yeah, just let y'all know how bad I was, because I had a crew. So if one of us fought, all of us fought. Didn't matter what it was about, didn't matter who started it. If one fought, we all fought. That was just how it was. But her sister, the girl I was fighting, her sister was in high school, so, and the high school was kitty corner from the middle school. So we're in middle school, but her sister's in high school. So she done got her sister's friends to help. Now, ain't that crazy? You got the high school kids jumping on the middle school kids. But anyway, that's what it was. So at some point, there was at least, you know, 2, maybe 3, at least it felt like it, people hitting me at the top of my head. I had a choice to get stomped in the middle of Oakman in Wyoming. I think that was Wyoming. Or fight my way out. I chose to fight my way out. Likewise, when things are happening in your life, don't get your butt whooped. Fight your way out. Jesus ain't raised no punks. Fight your way out. You got the word. You got everything you need right here. Fight your way out. Stand in the mirror and speak to yourself what God said, but fight your way out. Don't lay there and take no whooping from an enemy that's already been defeated. That's crazy. Fight your way out. Stir up your own gift on the inside of you. You done took the time to encourage yourself in the Lord. You done inquired of the Lord. Now, okay, you messed up. Big deal. Repent. Move on. 1 John 1:9 tells you you can move on. If you don't believe that 1 John 1:9 sets you free, that God really does forgive you, then let's go over to Psalms 103. Because, see, the Lord tells us in the scripture that out of the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, so let's go look at the other 2 or 3, because we all know 1 John 1:9. Quite frankly, we probably use 1 John 1:9 too often. We do things knowing that we can use 1 John 1:9. But let's look at Psalm 103. says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So tell me this. According to verse 3, what did he say? Who forgiveth, right? Who is the who? So we got 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yay? Okay. Now in Psalms 103, this is David saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Then he tells us one of the characteristics of God is he forgives us of what? All. All. That means there's no sin, whether it be promiscuity, whether it be you robbed the bank down the street, whether you murdered a man around the corner. He said he forgives all. Now, it's us who decides or determines whether or not a sin could be forgiven. But God said he forgives them all. Still don't believe me? Let's go over to, we're in Psalm. Let's go look at Psalm 32. Let's go back a couple pages. Psalm 32. Verse 5 says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Pause and think about that is what Selah means. So David again is saying, I acknowledge my sin. You gotta acknowledge it. You can't just brush it up under the rug. You gotta acknowledge it. But here's another key. Don't be like, well, Lord, I only went off on her like that because she said such and such to me. Drop all that. Deal with what you did wrong. Because see, the Lord not gonna talk to you about the other person. If you go to God complaining about somebody, he's going to talk to you about you and how you should respond. So go to God genuinely. Don't be going, you know, kind of like, well, you know, according to the scripture, Lord, you said that you would make a way of escape. Well, you didn't make the way of escape plain to me, so I missed it. That's not forgiveness. That's not repentance. If somebody came to you and said, well, you know, the only reason I smacked you like that was because you said third like you had an attitude, are you really going to be okay with that apology? You might smack them. So if it's not cool for somebody to give you this half apology, why is it okay for us to go to God and half apologize? I'm just saying, we expect certain things out of people, but then we don't want to do the same thing. So in order to get your fight back, you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. You need to inquire of the Lord because you got to know what to do. If you created the mess that you in, repent. You see that God will forgive you. The scripture in Isaiah tells us that he cast the sin, that he remembers it no more. He cast it as far as the east is from the west. And I used to think about that scripture and wonder, okay, but don't they touch at some point? And it's like, Tanisha, stop trying to be all extra. As far as the east is from the west, from you to drive from East Texas to West Texas is going to take you about a day. As far as the east is from the west. And so I'm going to get to this last point. Take action according to the word of God. What is the point of inquiring of the Lord if you're not going to do what he told you to do? So don't just waddle in the trial. Don't just waddle in whatever happened in your life that was negative. You have access to the answer. Get your fight back. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Find out what it is that God wants to do. Ask him, plain and simple. Just like I'm standing up here talking to you, you can stand there and talk to the Lord, and he will freely answer you. According to James 1:5, he said that if you lack wisdom and you ask him for it, he'll give it to you you liberally. The Lord is not withholding anything from you. You are his. If we had continued to read down through Matthew 7, it would have gone, you would have seen where he said, if a son asked his father for bread, would he give him a stone in its place? No parent in here would give their kid a stone when their kid is hungry. No matter how broke you are, you're going to try to figure out how to get your baby some food. Been there, done that. Know how to go hustle and figure out how to get something. Know how to put my pride on the shelf and go ask. Do the same thing with God. Ask. Inquire of the Lord. Get back up on your feet and fight, because you're never going to experience the victory if you don't. And then you can't blame it on God if you opt not to do what he said do. If you don't go and renew your insurance at the end of the 6 months, then you can't get mad at Farmers or Progressive or whoever your insurance carrier is for not covering your car if you have an accident and you ain't got no insurance. There is a part that you have to play. Amen? So remember, you have to what? Encourage yourself in the Lord, right? Then you need to inquire of the Lord. If you created the mess, repent. And then let it go. Let it go. Let it go. For all of the parents who got kids that watch Frozen, just let it go. And then take action with what God told you to do. Amen? Amen. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Hallelujah. So tonight you may be.
I hope you enjoyed today's message. We never want to close a broadcast without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. So if you've never asked him into your heart, you've never made him your Lord and Savior, pray this prayer with me today and mean it from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son. I believe that he died for me, but on the third day, you raised him from the dead. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Spirit and help me to live this Christian life. If you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, we believe you've been born again. We ask that you email us at info@fccga.com. That's fccga.com to let us know about the decision you've made for Christ today. Have an amazing day.